The Lord will never create a life for us that makes him unnecessary.
Right.
That is a incredibly heavy, sobering thought to start our reflection with today. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for this study.
Yes, welcome. We are so glad you're here with us.
We are reflecting on a very powerful Wednesday night message. This was delivered by Brother Tom on March 11th, 2026.
Right, and he was stepping in for Brother John, who was recovering from a serious surgery at that time.
Exactly. And the mission of our study today is to softly examine this message. We want to understand exactly what we need to remember moving forward as Christians, especially in today's increasingly dark and chaotic world.
It is so vital for us right now.
It really is. And when I heard that opening quote, it just struck a nerve. I mean, we often live our modern, overly scheduled lives like we are on a treadmill.
Oh, that is a very accurate picture.
Right. We are just running and running, completely exhausted, but we absolutely refuse to step off. We are convinced that if we just keep moving, we are in control. But it is an illusion.
It is an illusion. And it is a merciful thing that God eventually reaches over and unplugs that treadmill. He abruptly reminds us who is actually in control.
Praise the Lord for that mercy.
Truly. When you really pause to consider the weight of Brother Tom's premise that a life where we do not need God is actually a life separated from him, well, it changes the way you view every single inconvenience you face.
Every delay, every sudden hardship.
Exactly.
And Brother Tom experienced this reality firsthand right before delivering this very message.
He certainly did. He was facing an absolute mountain of commitment.
Right. He'd just returned from a golf tournament in South Carolina.
Yes. And on top of that, he had coaching duties for a local golf team, and he had family visiting from out of town.
The pressure was just immense. He actually called the head coach to step away from his duties because he was, well, he was drowning in worldly obligations.
But God shifted his plans entirely. He placed him right there in that pulpit.
Fascinating. Now, I have to ask a hard question here.
Yeah.
Because I struggle with this personally.
Go ahead.
Is it not human nature to want to fix our problems? If I have a mountain of commitments, my first instinct is to organize them, to power through, right?
Right, to be responsible.
Exactly. So how do we differentiate between truly trusting God and just, you know, being irresponsible by dropping everything?
That is a profound struggle. And I think it comes down to understanding why God places these divine roadblocks in our paths.
Right.
Tom makes it very clear in his message. These roadblocks between point A and point B, they are not punishments.
They are tests.
Precisely. They are tests meant to grow us. In a fallen world, our default setting is always self-sufficiency.
We always want to rely on our own strength.
We do. And if life remains a friction-free experience, if we do not have these moments that force a daily revelation of who God is, well, we stop seeking his direction.
We rely on our calendars instead of our creator.
Exactly. The roadblocks draw us right back down to our knees. It mirrors that wholehearted submission we experienced the very moment we first accepted Jesus Christ.
Fascinating. So the friction itself is the grace.
It is.
But letting go of that control is terrifying for us. I mean, we often treat modern Christianity as if it should be a cakewalk.
We really do.
We want the spiritual blessings, but doesn't this desire for a friction-free life actively prevent us from walking in the Spirit? Does it not hinder us from discerning God's voice?
Absolutely. If we never experience situations that force us to rely on the Holy Spirit, we completely lose our ability to discern his voice amidst the noise of the world.
That is a very sobering thought.
It is. And to truly understand the severe danger of this self-sufficiency of trusting in our own flesh, we have to look at the historical precedent Tom brought up.
Right. From the Old Testament, he pointed us directly to the book of Jeremiah.
Yes, Jeremiah. He is known historically as the weeping prophet.
But he was not weeping out of self-pity, was he?
No, not at all. His entire ministry was defined by a profound, agonizing grief over the persistent disobedience of Judah.
He was dealing with a society steeped in deep-rooted iniquity.
Rampant idolatry. They were constantly trusting in human alliances instead of the Lord.
Right, trusting in the military strength of neighboring nations.
Exactly. And most horrifying of all, they were engaging in the literal practice of child sacrifice in the Valley of Hinnom.
Incredible. The spiritual condition of Judah was just so dark.
It was. Scripture describes their sin in Jeremiah 17 as being engraved on their hearts.
With a pen of iron.
Yes, and the point of a diamond.
The point of a diamond. That implies a hardened, permanent rebellion. It was etched into their very identity.
And we cannot ignore the chilling parallel Brother Tom makes here.
Between those ancient child sacrifices and the societal evils we are watching unfold in our own dark world today.
Exactly. God's anger at sin is intensely real. We sometimes forget that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament.
He is the Lion of Judah.
Amen. When Jeremiah 17, verse 5 warns, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength," we have to understand what that means.
It meant literal barrenness.
Yes. It resulted in losing the rich heritage God provided and being exiled to serve their enemies.
You know, we sit in our comfortable homes today as you listen to this, and we judge the ancient Israelites. We think they were so foolish and forgetful after God delivered them.
We judge them very quickly.
But I have to ask, are we not guilty of the exact same spiritual amnesia today?
I think we absolutely are. When things get comfortable, we plug right back into our own self-reliance.
Right. And knowing this fierce judgment against trusting in our own flesh, the natural question becomes, well, how do we survive?
And not just survive, but how do we bear fruit in such a spiritually parched environment?
Exactly.
Brother Tom provides the answer by contrasting verse 5 with verse 7 of Jeremiah 17.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord.
Yes. Tom explains that this person is like a tree planted by the waters.
But the man trusting in his own flesh.
He is described as a stunted shrub in the desert. He lives in a parched salt land.
Like the Dead Sea.
Exactly like the Dead Sea, where the salinity is so high that absolutely nothing can grow. Even when good rain finally comes, that shrub cannot experience it.
Incredible. So a life of self-reliance actually ruins our capacity to receive grace. The salt draws the moisture away.
It is a terrifying spiritual reality.
It really is.
But we can synthesize this Old Testament imagery with a New Testament reality that Tom brings up. He references Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes. And when the Apostle Paul wrote those words, we have to remember his environment. He was writing 50% of the New Testament from a Roman prison cell.
Praise the Lord.
He was not just existing in a salt land, he was thriving. He was a tree planted by the water, drawing from a supernatural source.
And Tom shared a beautiful modern-day example of this, didn't he?
He did. During a hospital visit, he met a woman in the intensive care unit.
And just to respect their privacy, we won't use their names, but her story is a stunning testimony.
It truly is. She had cared for her quadriplegic husband since he was 16 years old.
Since he was 16.
Yes. And because of a severe complication, she had been camped out in that ICU waiting room for 20 straight days.
20 days in an ICU, the constant beeping, the sterile lights, most people would be completely crushed by that.
It is the definition of a modern salt land.
Absolutely.
But Tom noted that she was an absolute joy to speak with.
Incredible.
She possessed this remarkable positive attitude despite her sheer physical exhaustion.
That is the visible fruit of a tree planted by the water.
It is living proof that Christ's burden is truly light.
Thriving in today's dark world, it isn't about God removing the drought. It isn't about him taking away the scorching heat.
Right.
It is about making sure our root system is tapped directly into the living water. If your taproot is drinking from Christ, the external temperature simply does not matter.
That is exactly it. But to develop that kind of deep root system, we cannot rely on worldly wisdom.
We have to actively rely on the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and we must embrace biblical accountability.
This is where Brother Tom shared his personal testimony regarding his lifelong battle with anxiety.
A very powerful testimony.
He actually pursued post-secondary education in psychology. He spent years learning how to use the diagnostic manuals of mental disorders.
He mastered the terminology.
But he found that while the world is very good at identifying problems, its man-made solutions simply cannot rectify them.
The manual had no cure for his spirit.
Right. It was only when he was closest to the Lord that his anxiety vanished.
Which brings us to the absolute necessity of sober judgment. As humans, we are so often blind to our own sins and our own underlying pride.
We are.
This is precisely why we need the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 tells us the Holy Spirit will convict us and teach us.
Furthermore, we need the courage to hold one another accountable in love.
Yes, just as Tom does with his close brothers in the church.
Without that kind of rigorous biblical accountability, it is so easy to drift quietly back into self-reliance.
It is. The world is constantly selling us a different path to peace.
Speaking of which, Tom makes a brilliant comparison toward the end of his message. He contrasted Mike Tyson and King Solomon.
Oh, yes. Two vastly different men.
Mike Tyson was making millions, surrounded by every worldly pleasure. but he stated that his time in prison was actually the best time of his life.
Because the external noise was finally shut off and he found a measure of peace.
Exactly. And then you look at King Solomon.
Solomon had everything. If you took a modern billionaire and multiplied it by 100, you might approach Solomon's stature.
Right. But at the end of his life, he said it was all useless.
All vanity.
So why do we keep chasing worldly stature when it is so abundantly clear that peace only comes from wholehearted submission to Christ?
We chase it because we forget that we are entirely dependent on his grace. We forget the tragedy of the stunted shrub in the salt land.
As we draw this reflection to a close, let's briefly recap the core journey of this study.
Please do.
Trusting in human ingenuity, relying on our own flesh, or using a man-made manual to fix our lives, it leaves us like that barren shrub in the salt land.
Overwhelmed by the anxieties of a dark world.
Yes. But trusting in the Lord anchors us like a tree by the river. It allows us to bear visible, joyous fruit, regardless of our circumstances.
Just like that wonderful church congregation meeting in that old converted building in Palmarine.
Praise the Lord. They are taking a space in this dark world and doing God's enduring work.
They are a tree planted by the waters.
I want to turn directly to you now as you listen to this. I want you to evaluate your own root system today.
It is a critical evaluation we all must make.
Are you relying on a man-made manual to fix your life? Or are you actively seeking the Holy Spirit's direction?
The world will constantly try to drag you back to the salt land.
It will. And I want to leave you with this final challenging thought to ponder on your own.
A very necessary thought.
If it is true that God will never create a life for you that makes him unnecessary, then what current frustration, what sudden delay, or what roadblock in your life is actually just God extending a merciful invitation?
An invitation to stop striving.
Exactly. An invitation for you to fall to your knees, let go of the treadmill, and rely entirely on him.